There we go. Well, welcome to Bethel. Just for the recording's sake, on the 17th of February 2020, who knew the country would still be in the state that it's in nearly a year later? My goodness. Amen. Well, we're going to begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song or two. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time, for each of the souls that are here and the houses that are represented here, Lord. And I pray your good hand upon each one of us. Not just us, but look after Brother Stan and Sister Karen and Jade very especially, Lord. Please work in her heart and mind for Marky, Jeremiah, Samuel and Faith, the Stuarts and their families up there in Bangor. And I pray your good hand upon Gareth and his family as they visit with us this coming weekend. Lord, we hold you to your promise tonight, Lord, that wherever two or three are gathered together, that you'll be in our midst. And I pray, Lord, please, you'll be in our midst this evening. We really do need you. The days are certainly not getting wicker, and people are certainly getting wickeder and wickeder. And Lord, we certainly need you more and more. So please, Father, just walk up and down the hall here. Speak to each one of us. Touch each one of us. And not just us, Lord, but our brethren across the world. And Lord, speaking about the world, please put your good hand upon the leaders of it. Really, really convict them, Lord. I know a lot of them are given over to reprobate minds, just like the folks in the countries that they run. But Lord, please give them another chance. Give them another crack of the whip, Lord. And speak to them really, really seriously in the dark of the night, Lord, in the cool of a day, in a quiet moment. Please speak to leaders and followers and masters and servants, and you know, Lord, every single man, woman and child, I pray, Father, please speak to and convict about sin and judgment to come. We pray especially for all those souls that we ourselves have been able to reach out to, and Lord, that gospel tracts that have been hidden in a drawer or stuck in between a book or a magazine or would supernaturally come to light again, Father, and people would have real pause for thought. But Father, I pray that you'd bless just our time in your presence. Not just for other folks, Lord, but for ourselves tonight. And I pray the lifting up of our praises, even if our voices are not great, Lord, but you know the songs that we sing in our hearts as we sing along, Lord. I pray that would be acceptable in your sight. The tithes, the offerings, the prayers, the praises, the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your word. And the fellowship too, Lord. We're glad to have the freedom to do it. I pray that you would bless this time, Father. Love you and praise you. May I ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Number 11 in the Black Book, if we're going to begin with the mortal invisible, and godly wise, and then we are going to sing a new hymn. Sorry, we're going to attempt to sing a new hymn. Amen.
Excessive.
close those wee books, just go forward to 29, isn't it? Hymn number 29 is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. This says, I'm not sure because Mrs. Bradfield plays a lot of these songs around the house and these hymns, and so they seem familiar to me, and I keep thinking if they're familiar to me, they should be familiar to you. But I hope this will become, like so many of the others, a favourite as time goes by. Hymn number 29, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. We'll play a verse first, and then we will start into the singing. Mr. Wilson, if you are fit, would you come up and bring us the Bible reading for this evening?
Tonight's reading is from 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon with our hands, have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declared we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write ye unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Thank you for that, Norman. I just want to take a minute or two and open the floor for any prayer requests that anybody might have, or any updates. And pardon? Oh, I'll tell you how yesterday went. The quantity surveyor, or if that's his name, if it's not, the surveyor, he landed down and he had a look at the place and he said you couldn't really sell it as a house building site because it's an odd shape of a site. It's not really usable as agricultural land because of the who knows how many tons of gravel that are worked into the driveway. And he reckons it may be full price, 8 or under. So we'll be getting a quote from him along with a receipt for the £150 of his fees. And if we get it at the pro rata rate that the church was offering, in other words, a quarter of the market value, we should hopefully maybe get it for 4 or less. But I was just saying to John on the way in, it's worth praying about because it's £4,000. That would put the central heating in the place or do any one of a number of major tasks or change one of the vehicles. So it is a substantial amount of money and it's your money, it's our money, and I don't want to give it away to just because somebody said, which is why we got another privately hired independent surveyor to tell us the price and not just work off of their price. There were a few things said. Whenever I went for the first meeting with the church, they said they would give us it at a quarter of the market value, which they thought was £40,000. And then ever since, the surveyor came and said that he could pad it up to £10,000, and I thought, right, I think it's time we hired our own surveyor. And he's saying pretty much maximum, on the market, £8,000. So I have prayed for a little bit of wisdom for me, because I will now have to contact the minister of the Presbyterian Church. And I will be looking for a slightly reduced or much reduced sale price on the land, because the reason we were registered as a charity was to get this at a much reduced price. So please do pray about that. I don't relish these things because I know it could hurt us as a church financially. And it could hurt us even to the point where they would refuse to sell it to us and sell it to somebody else and develop out the land for something else, even if it was just to put a shed on it, that someone could put the shed here and tear everything out and just put a couple of roller shutter doors on it. I could see them doing that. So a lot of prayer. Bible says this is where we are supposed to be waging our wars, and our prayers on our hands and knees, where the Lord can influence the hearts and minds of the men that we deal with and even ourselves as well. So bears praying about it. I hate it whenever things like this happen, and I feel like I have to get my hands dirty whenever I start dealing in situations like this. In fact, I might just go along with one of those things of hand sanitizer and just continually wash my hands when I'm dealing with them. But that's what it feels like. So need to pray about that. And I would really appreciate your prayers over the next day or two, because I'll be formulating an email back to the minister in Edmonton. So please do pray about that. I'll have to be nice about it. There's no point in being mean about it. But I would just put my concerns to him. So does that answer your question? I hope it does. Alrighty. Is there any word on Shay's granny? Still in hospital. Any other prayer requests that we have? This is great church. Don't forget, Frank. I was in touch with Frank. Frank has what? 9 exams? Is it this week or next week? Next week. He has a lot of exams coming up. He must be doing all the exams that all the other kids in the country are not doing, to have 9 in one week. But please do pray for Frank as he does his exams. Please do remember private prayer requests. We're missing Will and Christine this evening. Don't forget Leonard. He was a fixture here for goodness how knows, was it 10 years more? So please do pray for him and his family. Do pray for Rita's family, Elaine and Hilary, and their spouses and children. Esther as well. Of course, don't forget Eddie and Anne and their grandson Mason. They live next door to Esther. And we're also missing Pat and Steve. Steve had a meeting at the doctor's today. Said that the leg was improving, but he has a few more changes to make in medication, possibly diet, and a few other bits and pieces. So please do pray for him. It seems to be a very slow-going job. And we miss, of course, Carol and Stephen. Please pray for them. Well, it's good to see everybody here that is here, especially Mr. Wilson, who gave us all a wee bit of a scare at the weekend too. So I think all of you probably got the updates, so you know that he had a few clots in his lungs, he had difficulty breathing, and he had a bacterial infection coming up with phlegm, and he's being treated for all of those. And he's here with us tonight, and you saw him reading, you saw him walk up to the front, so he's not doing too bad, but he's been put on, what would you call it, limited duties, because they're afraid of him up to his shenanigans and cutting himself and bleeding out, hanging up a ladder up a roof somewhere. So pray for Norman over the next wee while too, that all of those issues get sorted out and he gets back to full strength again. Come through the mill a bit, but still here. Prayers mean a lot. They really do. They can turn a night into day, really, and they can turn even the worst of days, they can put a smile on your face, and you maybe don't even know why. But I am standing up here at the front, and I know in retrospect, whenever I was in hospital, I was nearly dead. I was one day off of being dead. And the whole time that I was in hospital, I was never concerned. And I know it's because you guys were praying for me and holding me up. I was knackered, but I was never afraid. And I appreciate the prayers that everybody offered up, not just here, but I know Brother Stan was praying, and there were many other churches were praying. Even the Free Church was praying. Churches in America were praying. And I appreciate them. It does make a difference. And you may think that this is 10 minutes of the service that is just me flapping my gums, another excuse for me to flap my gums. It's important. It's important for the people that you're praying for. And it's important for you. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray. It is your duty to pray for your brothers and sisters. So pray for them. All those folks we mentioned. We haven't mentioned the folks that used to be here. Courtney and Megan and Alex. Sylvia and Jonathan. Paul and Ethel. And Chloe, Joshua and Rachel Lee. There's Ian and Donna. There's Barbara. There's, did we mention Sylvia and Jonathan? All of these souls, Alan and Rachel and Nathan and Jordan, so many souls that used to be here, and all of, most of which thought they would do better elsewhere and sadly haven't, please do pray for them. Please do pray for restoration in these last of the last days. And keep your eyes looking up. You will certainly be dragged down by everything that is going on in the world, but even if you look up, you will remember that you have a mission field regardless of what's going on everywhere else in the world, even if it's only to say, for you to say, God be with you today, I'll be praying for you today. That's, even if that's all that you say and tell somebody, look, Jesus saved me and puts a smile on my face when the rest of the world is crying their eyes out, and he can do the same for you. That's Christian testimony. Take time. Whenever life gives people lemons, we should make lemonade. Although I think plenty of people would be drinking lemonade now if that was the case. Is there anybody got any thanks? Able to be here, somebody put the last day. Who was that? Was that Will? Yeah, I'm going to put that times two. I'm glad to be here. Times three for Norman as well. All right. Anything else? We're still glad to have Ling here, although she got back to us earlier on in the week, in the month there, but amen. Is that it? Christy, would you mind leading us? Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for wisdom that you bestowed on the preacher, Lord, in advance of delivering the message. And ask and pray that you'd help him as he does, Lord, that you'd open hearts and minds here amongst us as well. Remember each private prayer request, Lord, spoken forth, and we ask and pray, Lord, that you'd intervene in each one with our absent brethren. Watch over them, Lord, please. Remember Steve, Lord, with his legs and the improvement there, we pray, as best in Pat as he tends to him, Lord. For
now, yes, Lord.
For Will, Lord, and Christine, that you be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Christine and Carol and Stephen, sorry, excuse me, and Frank over in London as well. Lord, watch over each one, Lord, just provide their needs, we pray. Lord, remember the situation with the person of the church land. I pray that you'd accomplish your will in this, Lord, that you would guide hearts, words, minds, Lord, every action that takes forth from here out, Lord, I ask and pray your hand upon it, Lord, and within it, and Lord, heavenly wisdom will be used, Lord, and Lord, just that we would get the land into good price, we pray. Remember those that are fighting silent battles, Lord, and think of them, Lord, and ask and pray a touch of help, Lord, of comfort, Lord, of strength and wisdom, Lord, that you would see them through, please. Lord, we pray that you'd save all souls in this city, Lord, that you would work through this church again continually, Lord, but to reach out to the folks, Lord, to be a help, Lord, and to be a light as well in these dark days. We pray this service, Lord, that you'd use it as you see fit, Lord, and deepen each heart and mind. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. All right, 372 has been requested by Pat and Steve, so this is for them. Let's sing up good and loud. We'll stand as we do and make a joyful noise. 372.
Our Father's mercy. the wave. Some were fainting, struggling seamen. You may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor. In the darkness,
be seated, and you can close your hymn books. If you'd like to take your Bibles, open them at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 this evening. I'd like for us just to spend a little bit of time, we'll read this chapter, and thinking on the subject of ours and his. Ours and his. Man, this is a portion of scripture that I have been working on. Goodness, I remember reciting these verses in my head when I was having fever dreams in Alton and Galvin. So that's 14 months ago, and there's times that I get hammering away at it, and I'm nearly just at the last verse where, you know, where you've got it all in your head, and all you need to do is, when you're lying in your bed, even you can cycle through them real quick and they stay there. But until you get that last verse, they just don't seem to stay there. So it keeps beating me, and then I have to keep beating it back again. It's like weeds growing in the garden, just need to be pulled. But we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. There's 18 verses in this portion of God's word. We're going to read them all. Speaking on the subject of ours and his. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Amen. I have a couple of little places, a couple of verses that I would like to even use. I'm only thinking on one word, and it appears three or four times in the context that I am interested in. But verse number 2, verse number 8, verse number 10, you will see, we'll read them out after we have another wee word of prayer, and you will see where we're coming from. So let's pray again, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, again. I pray that you would just seal us in with yourself now, Father, and that you would keep us from distractions and one thing and another, all the things that the world, the flesh and the devil would try to throw away over the next half an hour or so. Please, Lord, use this, Lord, like the great physician, the great surgeon, to work in our hearts and minds, to change us and make us more like you. I pray you, Lord, for a special blessing on any soul that stand to teach and preach the full counsel of your word, and for those that hear it. Lord, we really do need you. Please reach out right the way across the world, blessing those missions outreaches, Lord. I think on Kids for Schools, and I think closer to home for the Christian Institute, Lord, and for Francis out there in Kenya. Please just watch over and keep him. We love you and praise you, Father, and we ask this, our private prayer requests, and all the other prayers that were lifted up this evening. We pray that you would grant them according to your will. Amen. Amen. Just a few words about 1st and 2nd Timothy before we actually get into it. Well, we're actually going to read those verses. Verse 2 says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord." Our Lord. Verse number 8 says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Verse number 10, when it talks about Jesus setting foot in the world, it says, "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour." Now, one of the hises, if you really, really need one, is in verse number 9, it says, "Jesus saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." But we'll come to that. We'll come to those in just a minute or two. A little word on 1st and 2nd Timothy. These are often referred to or thought of as an older preacher's church manual to a young preacher. From Paul the aged, or Paul the apostle, to Timothy, a young buck, a bit wet behind the ears, although well grounded in the gospel, as we read here, as granny and his mother were believers and brought him up in the Word of God. Because it covers so much stuff, 1st and 2nd Timothy. I actually have come across, if memory serves, an encouragement by young people that are training in Bible schools, that are going out onto the mission field or hoping to lead churches of their own, that they should make a point of getting through 1st and 2nd Timothy at least every week in their own personal devotions, because there is so much advice in the deportment of the preacher and the proper operation of the church. There are portions of it that are designed to keep Timothy right from a spiritual point of view, and we do know that he was even told to drink fruit juice instead of drinking the water because he had a bit of a dicky tummy. And as you know, fruit juice tastes nicer than water, but it also has things like vitamin C and fructose and stuff that actually helps perk you up. So there's stuff like that in it. There's also even the qualifications for church leaders, how they're supposed to be, well, pretty much an upstanding citizen, but also looking after themselves properly, deporting themselves properly, making sure their families behave themselves properly. Because, as the Bible says, if you can't look after your family, how are you going to look after the house of the Lord? If we were to read on in 2 Timothy up till chapter number 3, you'll read about basically even some prophecy. Things that Paul wrote, goodness, that you would think he was looking out of a window somewhere today with the state of many, many churches and many, many preachers, where he said, why don't we just read it? It's only across the page. It says, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, covetous boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy and unthankful, without even natural affection. Truth, that's like brotherly, brother, sister, mother, father, child, affection. False accusers. Goodness, this sounds like America. Incontinent, no control, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. In other words, people that are supposed to be Christians, they're traitors, heady and high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. That is, men stand in a pulpit wearing their shirt back to front, a dress over their suit, and you wonder why you would believe any words that they speak. I think they had transgender or cross-dressing down to a fine art years before it was even fashionable. But that's neither here nor there. And they never tell people how to get saved. I remember shutting a minister up one time, and I asked him, did he believe the things of the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? Do you believe that you must make a choice for salvation? Do you believe that he's coming back soon? He said, I believe all of those things. I said, why did you never tell people those things in church? And that was us done. They exist today. They have always existed, but they exist more today. And that goes on to speak about the last days. Now, Paul was writing this to Timothy, and he was warning him that, well, basically the last days started when the Lord went up into heaven. This is the last of the last days, the beginning of sorrows, maybe. We're getting the hints of those things. But this is like someone from back in the day was reading YouTube, watching YouTube or reading the newspapers for such a description of so many souls in the face of this earth. These are things that Paul said. This is the way people are going to be, so self-centered. You're going to be sitting down with men that call themselves rabbis but have no interest in serving God. Paul put this in the book of Timothy, and he said, make sure that you have a wee read at that, and make sure that you are aware, because if you're not ready for these things, you're going to be knocked down and maybe even out. That's why Jesus put so much of this stuff in the Bible, so that when it happens to us, and it will happen to us, we don't go, oh no, my feelings are hurt, I'm going to have to go and find myself a little bubble somewhere that nobody can burst and live in that. Jesus said, I am telling you this now so that when it does happen, you won't be surprised. If anybody ever rejects you because you speak in the name of Jesus, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ in you. So remember that. It's not you they hate. It's the Jesus that you worship. Amen. Anyway, there's a lot of stuff in there. It even talks about the portion that we read, prophecy about Jesus Christ, and how he was promised from the beginning of the world, and how he was manifested, and then, of course, gave his life on the cross, abolished death, and brought life and immortality to light. This is just 2,000 years ago. And the chapter ends, of course, with a few people that Paul says, you just watch those people there. A lot of people don't like naming names. They don't like pointing a finger at someone and saying, don't talk to that guy. Don't listen to that guy. That guy lies through his teeth. He's going to lead you astray. He'll destroy you. He'll steal your money, your wealth, your life, and anything that's not nailed down, he'll take that on you. Paul names and says to Timothy, don't have anything to do with those guys. They will drag you down. They'll destroy you. Stay away from them. But he also names names of a guy that, you know, just bless him and help him where you can. Phygellus and Hermogenes have got the big family fortunes, X, and Onesiphorus, he has the big tick, the ding, like that there. Paul puts all of these things in here. He even says, look, your knowledge of the scriptures is not going to supernaturally, overnight, appear in your head. He says you're going to have to work at it. He says in verse 6, stir up the gift of God. In other words, make a bit of effort in your Christian life. If you want to scoot over to chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved. In other words, do a wee bit of legwork in your Christian life. Make sure when someone asks you a question from the Bible, that you're fit to answer them. Whenever you start out, you're not going to be fit to answer them, but after you get a bit of egg in your face a couple of times, instead of just wiping it off, make sure that you've got the answers. And here's what you say to a person. I don't know that answer, but I guarantee you by the next time I see you, I will have that answer. And go and find out. Ask me. Type it into Google. Check it up in your Bible. Do something. But study to show yourself approved. All of these things are in there. There's literally not enough time to, other than to mention them. Also, one last thing I would like to mention is verse number 20 and 21 in chapter 2, where it says, look, there's a lot of different Christians, a lot of different believers, and a lot of different states in the Church of God right the way across the world. Some are educated, some are not educated. Some are rich, some are poor. Some are black, some are white. Some speak English, some speak Chinese. Some speak French and German and Spanish and all sorts of languages. Some are strong and some are not. There are different people serving God all over the world. There's not one of them any better than the other. If any one of them, any soul wants to serve God, the Bible says, make space for God in your life. Purge yourself from sin. Purge yourself from bad habits and give that time to God. So, there's a bunch of stuff in 1st and 2nd Timothy. The three verses that it's funny how sometimes a single word will stick out whenever you're reading in the Word of God, and immediately I find it's almost like all the verses of Scripture and the thoughts just slap themselves onto that word. If anybody has ever done any arts and crafts, when you build something out of clay, you make yourself an armature and then you slap clay onto it and you mold it with your hands, and that's literally the way many messages come to me. But I got to thinking about all of the things that we can lay claim to as a Christian. And not just from Timothy, but from right the way across God's Word. I have a dozen. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail in all of them. I have a dozen because I want for you to understand that there is a bunch of stuff that we can claim because we're God's children. Now, if you want to know if you can claim them, first of all, the first prerequisite is that you must be born again. You must have at some point in your life, me and God have asked God to forgive you your sins and trusted Him and Him alone as your Savior through His Son Christ Jesus' payment for sins on the cross of Calvary, your soul is saved. Right then, for the endless ages of eternity. He says He keeps you in the palm of His hand, and nobody and nothing, not even our own stupid selves, can take ourselves out of God's hand. Not even the devil. He says, no man can pluck you out. Isaiah 14 refers to the devil as a man. He says, is this the man that caused the nations to tremble? Nobody and nothing. Once God has you in there, He keeps you like that. Keeps you like that. The hand of the Son and the hand of the Father both have you there, and you can't be plucked out. That's the first prerequisite. And even that, that is our salvation, but it's supplied by God. The next thing we'll come to at the very, very end. But I've got a few things that I would like for us to realize that we can lay claim to. This one appears more often in the Old Testament, in Psalms and Proverbs mostly, but have you ever heard of God referred to as our strong and mighty tower? If you read much of Psalms or Proverbs, you're going to come across that, because David was really crying out. Proverbs, Solomon was, for our benefit, but even for his own, he referred to God as our strong and mighty tower. And what people used to do in bygone years, and we're talking maybe 1,000 or more years ago, they would build a huge stone tower that could be 50 or 60 feet diameter. Huge stones. The ceiling inside the first floor could have been 20 feet in the air. Nobody could get into it. There was a rope ladder up into it, or a ladder up into it, and stores and supplies and water, food, ammunition, arrows, stones, hot oil even. Everything was kept on the stories above that. And if there was ever any problem, people would run up the ladder into it and they would be safe. And that's what Jesus is to us, a place to go to when the world crowds in on us and threatens us. We can run to him and be safe. He's our strong and mighty tower. Not too far away from those quotes, sometimes you'll find out that it says he is our buckler. Now, I'm not quite sure what a buckler is. I think it is, it's either a place where you hold a sword or some bit of strapping or other that holds on armor, but needless to say, it's for combat. For whenever you are having to contend with an enemy, it's handy to have a buckler to hold your sword or your armor. I will come back to that. It appears, you know what? I take that so much for granted. I've never actually gone and double checked the meaning of it. But you get the idea. He is our buckler. It is with him that we use. In fact, if you ever come across, is it in Ephesians where it talks about the whole armor of the Lord? It says to put upon your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, to gird about your loins with the truth, to cover your head with the helmet of salvation, your chest, your heart with the breastplate of righteousness. It talks about the shield of faith, to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's what we are supposed to use to contend with souls. How's about the one we maybe should have started with? Our Father. We have a Father in heaven that we can lay claim to as Abba Father. Dad, I am having the hardest of times, not with great swelling prayers, but with broken-hearted prayers. We can come before God. And because we ask him to save us, he is our Father. And he wants so much for us. We have a loving Father. You know what fathers do? It's not all ice cream and sweeties. And it's not all trips to the swimming pool. Sometimes it's a thick ear or a sore behind. But the Lord will do that for us. But he'll also comfort us and strengthen us. And one that always comes to mind, whenever I used to live in Kilfenan, there were great spiritual battles, I do believe, going on for my future. And I used to have nightmares or see things in the dark. And I remember, after a few nights of these things happening, sitting bolt upright in the bed and saying, "You can't have me. I belong to God." And after that, they all faded away. We have a Father that will be there to comfort us. We need that, especially when things are going so wrong right now. We also have a brother in Jesus Christ, a big brother. It says in Romans 8, a joint heir with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. We will inherit the kingdom of heaven. And of course we have our good friend, the one that sticketh closer than a brother, the one that we are sealed with till the day of redemption, the one that we are indwelt by and marked by, that comforter that Jesus spoke of, that whenever he would go, we would always have God with us. You think even when Jesus, I think a lot of times we don't appreciate what we have. Even when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, when he commanded the winds and the waves, when he expelled the demons, the legion even of demons, numbers means nothing to God. Single demons making people deaf and dumb were cast out just in the same way as a legion of demons was cast out of a man that nobody could speak to or tame. He still went home at night. Everybody was separated from him for at least 7 or 8 hours. And there were times he went up to the Garden of Gethsemane and some of the apostles even weren't with him. We don't realize we have 24/7 access to God Almighty because of our friend, the Holy Spirit. We have our foundation in life. Not everybody's going to do the same job in life or be in the same place in life. But we all have the same foundation. Christians we're talking about now. And that's Jesus Christ. He calls himself the rock. We can stand on the rock no matter the weather. And the rock, we might, as a man once said, I might wobble on the rock, but the rock never wobbles under me. Jesus is never, he's not going anywhere. Should you be suddenly locked up in jail, Jesus Christ is still your Savior. And all that you have to do to speak to him is call his name. The Holy Spirit is still your friend closer than a brother. And your Father is still in heaven, on the throne in heaven. Whether you're lying in a comfortable memory foam mattress or on a mat in a cell, Jesus is your solid rock. One other thing that sometimes people don't realize is that Jesus is also the cornerstone. Not only do we build upon him and stand firm upon him, we build from him in the directions that that cornerstone sends us. He's our guide, our teacher even. We know the whole of the law teaches us quite simply that we need a savior, but there is so much in there. He is our minister. Our Father in heaven quite literally has, and I'm sure some of us keep him busier than others, he has lists of things for the angels to come down and do for us. Did you know that he is our life as well? I always lose the reference to this portion of scripture, but it answers questions. The Bible talks about it. It might actually be in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes where it talks about whenever our lives are over, our bodies will go down into the dust. Our life returns to him that gave it. But our souls go where we choose for them to go. Jesus Christ, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, was not joking. Did you know that nobody can quantify life? You can't measure it. There's no measurement for life. If you were to weigh the body of someone that was alive 1 minute and gone into eternity the next, there would be no difference in their weight. That is God's supernatural, if you like, spark that keeps our engines running. He's our strength as well. A lot of people don't realize that there is strength in doing things God's way. I'm remembering 2 Samuel 22 where, and there's a great, just a series of verses and one or two of them. The first one says, you're my lamp, a light to my feet. By thee have I run through a troop and by thee have I, by my God have I leaped over a wall. Things that would be hard to do off of your own strength. Samuel was saying, by the strength that God gives you, you can do things. that normally Joe Public, who doesn't have God as his saviour, would not have any inclination to do or the ability to do. I hope you noticed we have a purpose. Verse 9 talks about Jesus saving us and calling us, not because of what we can do, but because of what he would like for us to do, his purpose. What about our future? We used to have an awful future. The word of God back in Jesus was recorded as saying that there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many there be that are on it. But there is a straight and a narrow way that leads to life. That's his way. And few there be that find it through Jesus, of course. That is our purpose, friends. Our future. What about our shelter? You ever hear the old song, "A Shelter in the Time of Storm"? I've got a couple on my mind now. I was thinking of "The Comforter Has Come" as our final hymn, but if anybody has a better suggestion by the time they're done, I'm open to suggestions. One of the saddest verses, saddest things that Jesus ever said, was whenever he stood overlooking Jerusalem and he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem," he said, "Thou that killest the prophets, how often would I have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Not you could not, you would not. The Lord will give us shelter. And that doesn't necessarily mean shelter under 5 foot of reinforced concrete and another 8 foot of earth. That means shelter in his word. Do you know how many people have been saved from being beaten up by a bunch of drunks and knifed or raped? Do you know how many people that have been saved from that over the past year? Well, generally speaking, over the past year. Every single soul that obeys God and stays away from alcohol and harlots and whoremongers and druggies stays away from all of those things and obeys God because their body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. There is shelter and peace to be had in the presence of God. One that I neglected to mention, of course, was our peace. I was sharing with, I think it was Norman, not that very long ago, but have you ever noticed that sometimes you don't get any joy out of things? You're getting everything done and you're doing things that you would normally like, but they're not doing it for you until you put God in there first. We're called salt and light because we are supposed to give a bit of flavor, a bit of color to life. We're supposed to show people that life is better with Jesus. But Jesus also is salt and light in our lives, and we should put him in first. Pay our dues, if you like, to God and take time with him, and he will give us joy unspeakable. We just take time with God. He will give us our peace that passeth all understanding when we tell him about everything and keep on talking to him about everything and thanking him as he does. That's Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are some excellent verses too. And our power. I'm going to refer again to that poster in the men's bathroom. Someday we'll have to get the women's bathroom one just like it. Isaiah 40 and 31. You know what it says? Our power comes from who? God. When we wait on him, we can overcome. Mounting up as wings like eagles. Walk and not be weary. Run and not faint. Has anyone ever come across the verses in Luke 11? Well, the Lord was talking to the scribes and Pharisees, trying to give them an idea of how good God is to his children. And he said, I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to try and be clever and butcher it, but I'm just going to read it. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? And you can almost see them going, of course not. Or if he ask a fish for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And I am sure they were all going, of course not. We love our children. And then the Lord said, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit or good gifts to them that ask him, it says in Matthew. All of these things, the good gifts, the peace, the power, the wisdom, the direction, the purpose, our Father in heaven, our big brother Jesus, our friend that sticketh closer than a brother, all of these things that we lay claim to, they're not ours really. They're only ours because he gave us them. They're all his. They're all God's. And we only get them when we turn up. We get his eternal life and the sonship of God when we turn up at the foot of the cross and tell him, God, I am so sorry for my sins. Would you please save me? I will accept your son as my savior, my only savior. It's not when we turn up in any particular building. It's not when we turn up at a swanky church or a church with more than six people in it. It's when we do what God asks us to do, when we turn up in obedience. God said, go to church. When you turn up at church, he says, I'll bless you. God said, put your tithes in. And when you put your tithes in, I'll open the windows of heaven. And more than recompense you, God says. Whenever it comes time, remember we were talking about, I can't actually read it now, 2 Timothy 2:22, it talks about purging yourself and getting rid of bad things. Whenever you have to, or whenever you are forced to, put things to one side for God. God says, I have stuff that's 100 times better just waiting for you. All of these things come from him. There is none of our merit, none of our skill, none of our training, none of our physical abilities or our mental abilities can bring about any of these. They all come from God. And we would do well to remember that. I know sometimes it's easy to take God for granted. Because maybe you've lived as a Christian for years. Maybe you've known Christ as your Savior for years. That's just us. That is the human creature, the human condition. Whenever we have something for a long time, we think that it's always going to be there. Jesus always will be. Our Father in heaven always will be. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother always will be. But there are a lot of things in this world that if we don't turn up, we are not going to get. They're not ours by right. They are ours because a loving Father in heaven wants to give us them whenever we turn up as good children. I pray you. Do you ever stop and think for a moment? I know everybody, it's maybe easier for me as a, in quotes, non-working Christian servant. It only has to do a couple of hours in the week. And I'm even hiving some of that off onto Christy. Do you ever stop and think, could it be better? Not can I do more, it's not about quantity. But could it be better? Is there something I could be doing different? Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you. You don't have to draw lots and you don't have to do a random word generator to find out. All you got to do is ask God. Lord, is there something different I can be doing? Is there something more of something I could be doing? Could I be doing with more time in your presence? Do I just need to play different music? Put some of those hymns on. Lord, I know you want to give me more. And the reason I know that, because even with his wisdom, God, Jesus says, anybody wants wisdom? I'll bring a truck up and I will dump a whole load in your front garden. Not quite like that, but he says, he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It's ours because it was his, and he loves us to bits, and he gives it to us when we turn up as good children. Always remember that. And if you want more, does anyone remember one special name? There were two nicknamed disciples. One was Simon Peter, and the other one was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And it wasn't because Jesus loved anybody any differently, because he said many times that he is no respecter of persons. John was always there at every opportunity, and he produced the greatest, I do believe, of the Gospels with an insight into the Son of God, not the servant, not the Jesus Christ the King, not Jesus Christ the man, not Jesus Christ the servant, but Jesus Christ the Son of God. He got special insight, and there are things in the book of John that are not in any of the other Gospels, because he turned up, because he made a point of being there, because he made himself available to God. I want you to think on that, and I appreciate your time and your attention this evening. God bless you. Does anybody have a suggestion? We can sing a shelter. Yes, Mrs.
John 3:20 at the beginning.
What was it?
Republic.
Yep, let's do that. 448, is it?
No, that's the way of
Sorry, Ling. What number is it? Is anybody?
437.
Oh, I passed it. People have been saying that for years, I know. Okay, 437. If you'd like to stand, we will close our service with the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of the terrible sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, sifting out the hearts of men before the judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be gentle at my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. Glory, glory, alleluia. While God is marching.
Amen. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Have a good week till next we meet, whenever that may be. And amen. Thank you for being here. Christy, would you dismiss the meeting for us, please, brother?
Lord, we are thankful for this time around your word, for the message that you gave the preacher, Lord, and for his delivery. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, and a reminder, Lord, of all the things that we gain, Lord, from choosing you. Pray and ask, Lord, of all our friends and family would get saved, Lord, that we would really have more of, Lord, all the benefits that you bestow upon us, Lord, as well, so that souls could see and want that as well. Help us, guide us in your will, Lord. Just lead us this week. Lord, if there be any, Lord, seek and use us, we pray. Watch over those that are sick and downcast, we pray as well. Lord, just save lost souls in this city. And I pray, Lord, that the DUP's march to change the force of all in this land would succeed, please, as well. That you would just take the victory there in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christy. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Tip toes, elbows, and whatever else. Amen.
I have a question for you.